that'll put you on the Do Not Call list, which totally exists.
I love unsolicited phone calls, though I'm worried that I've answered my lies. For Greenpeace just gave me a phone call, and something inside of me snapped. And I said, I'm not trying to ignore, but I regret to inform that Addison Love passed away. But he called me from beyond the grave just to give me the words I should say.
WMFO Medford. Good afternoon, everyone. And well, it may not say summer on the calendar anymore, but it's definitely feeling summer-like. So enjoy. I see the students are back, and welcome back to all those who have just come for the next school term. I hope your living situation is conducive to your studying and that you have a great experience. So we have our meeting coming up here for WMFO. For those of you who are interested to be involved in running a radio station here at Tufts University, that meeting is coming up. Well, it's after the 15th, because the 15th is the first meeting, and that's for existing DJs. So check in your school newspaper, and I think it will probably give you information as to when that's going to be happening. So this is The Voicemobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. Happy to be here with you. And I have to say, last week the weather report was like, oh, thunder, lightning, da-da-da, which, you know, it really wasn't. And again, today they're saying, but maybe it's going to be later, so here I am, happy. And, well, let's see, what else did I want to tell you today? So, the situation in Florida, I have a friend who lives in Boca, and we learn on the phone every morning early, and she's lucky. They were prepared, but they didn't get the heavy winds. I don't know if they got any of the storm surge, but I think it kind of passed them by, which is fantastic. I'm really grateful for that. But of course, it's still coming up the coast, so have to keep our thoughts and prayers with those folks. I mean, Bermuda, that's where it's really been like devastating. Those pictures are unbelievable. And I feel very sorry for those folks. What can you say? I mean, you live in the middle of an area that's prone to these things, but still. So I hope they get the support and the relief that they need. It's hard when it's an island. It's, you know, but hopefully they'll do better than Puerto Rico, which still hasn't recovered. That's really a, what do they say, a Shonda in the family. I mean, it's just not right. So what else is going on in the world that I want to talk about? I don't know. Oh, I do know. Yes. Okay. So we are now in the month of Elul. We are on the fourth day of the month of Elul, which is the month preceding Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I know there are a lot of students here who will be going to the Tufts Hillel for services. So the month before is a time of preparation to get ready. And in fact, one of the customs is to blow the shofar, a ram's horn, to wake you up. And I did bring my, I have a new shofar that was given to me. So I haven't quite broken it in yet, but we'll see. I'll give a try to get some sounds for you a little bit later and share a little bit of a book by Shimon Jacobson, 60 Days, which is the whole period of Elul and Tishrei, the 2 months, the month leading up to and the month of all the Yom Tovim, starting with Rosh Hashanah, the new year. And so it's a time of introspection. They say that the king is in the field. So what does that mean? It means that instead of having to make an appointment to go and see the king in a formal way, the king is out there amongst the people and approachable. So you can make your petitions, make your requests. It's doable. So it's you know, a metaphor for how to approach this getting ready. Shimon Jacobs has a wonderful workbook, things you can work on each day. One of the customs is to recite three more Tehillim. Some people recite Tehillim or the Psalms every day. I actually have taken on a practice several months back of doing the whole book of Tehillim in a month. So every day you do a few of the 150 the Psalms, or Tehillim as we call them in Hebrew. And so there's a custom by some of the Chabad Hasidim to add an additional three. So if you're doing three a day for the month, then just before Rosh Hashanah, you add the last 36 to make the complete 150. So we'll see how I do. So far, so good. It's very interesting. The more you do them, the more you get familiar with them. And it ranges from all the human emotions and situations that you could possibly encounter. And of course, these are what David, King David, had encountered. So having said all of that, let's get us started here with Simply Sfat. Let's see, we want this one, I think. Yeah.
Thank you.
Ah, that was so beautiful. Okay, so here's something to think about. Just 10% of the adult population drinks more than 3/4 of all the alcohol consumed in the United States. Wow. Well, 30% of American adults don't drink at all. And another 30% average less than one drink per week. The top 10% of American adults, 24 million of us, consume an average of 74 drinks per week. Wow. More than 10 drinks a day. Yikes. That's a lot. Some numbers to think about. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. And of course, it goes without saying, if you're drinking, you should not be driving. Have a designated driver. I hope your students are listening. Okay. So here it's WMFO Medford. You are listening to The Voicemobile. I'm your host, Joyce The Voice. And I want to share with you an article from Arsheva. This is from 9 on the 2nd of September. And this is by Mark Silverberg. Okay. The last word on the Ilan Talib, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Talib or Tayab, I don't know. We'll hear. It says, the outrage and disingenuous claims that this is not how allies treat each other is really just another double standard against Israel. Representative Ilan Omar of Minnesota and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, both freshman Democratic congresswomen, have built their reputations on delegitimizing the Jewish state and working towards its destruction. They were not good faith actors, earnestly seeking to visit the Holy Land to learn about its people, history, and culture. If their intention was to see the facts on the ground for what they are, they could have easily joined 72 of their fellow New Democratic and Republican House members who visited Israel recently as part of a congressional delegation. Instead, they sought a visit to, quote-unquote, Palestine, a country that doesn't exist and a word often used to deny Israel's right to exist. That would have given them an international platform to spew their hatred, so they preferred to go separately to avoid the discomfort of meeting with Israeli leaders and experiencing an Israel that did not mesh with their preconceived notions. As Brooke Goldstein of the Lawfare Project, writing on Fox News, said, Israel was wise to deny entry. These freshman Democratic congresswomen have built their brands on delegitimizing the Jewish state. They would have used a visit to Israel to give themselves an international platform to spew their hate. Talib wrote for Louis Farrakhan's publication, The Final Call, which regularly publishes anti-Semitic materials. And according to the Anti-Defamation League, she invited a Palestinian activist to her swearing-in who has praised Hamas and Hezbollah and has equated Zionists with Nazis. Like Omar, Tayeb has accused her colleagues of dual loyalty, a classic anti-Semitic trope, declaring they forgot what country they represent. She also advocates a one-state solution, which means she opposes the very existence of the state of Israel. Omar has said that when she hears people call Israel a democracy, I almost chuckle. She has said Israel has hypnotized the world, has declared her hope that Allah will awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel, quote-unquote. Supports a boycott of Israel, a country she has compared to Nazi Germany. Accused her House colleagues who support Israel of pushing, quote, for allegiance to a foreign country, unquote. And declared that support for Israel is, quote, all about the Benjamins, unquote. She later more or less apologized for the last comment, but not all the others before or since that one. Unlike their other Democratic colleagues, Omar and Tayeb were uninterested in learning about Israel. They preferred to speak from ignorance, The two were clearly out for publicity and hoped to find opportunities to embarrass the Israeli people and their government while highlighting their own anti-Israel agenda. That is why both Omar and Tayyip are enthusiastic supporters of an anti-Semitic global campaign to boycott Jewish businesses, institutions, and individuals in Israel through the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, BDS movement, that promotes economic warfare as a means of bringing about the eventual destruction of Israel. Unfortunately, the media controversy over the Israeli government's denial of entry into Israel of these two congresswomen neglects to mention the sponsors of their visit and their intentions behind it. Their trip was to have been sponsored by MIFTA, a rabidly anti-Semitic organization. MIFTA promotes destroying Israel through economic strangulation, such as boycotts. It has referred to a suicide bombing as, quote, Palestinian women dedicated to sacrificing their lives for the cause, unquote. Has published neo-Nazi materials and neo-Nazi propaganda questioning, quote, the Jewish Holocaust tale, unquote, in quotes, has celebrated terrorists who murder Israeli children, and has promoted the medieval blood libel that Jews kill Christian children to use their blood to bake matzah, according to Beckett Adams in the Washington Examiner. The itinerary MIFTA had planned for Omar and Tayyip included no meetings with Israeli officials of any political persuasion, including Arab lawmakers. In short, MIFTA is an anti-Semitic, genocidal movement that wants to see the total destruction of Israel, and Omar and Tayyip were more than willing to assist. Omar and Tayyip don't just oppose Netanyahu's policies, they oppose the state of Israel. So was Israel wrong in denying Omar and Tayyip entry to their country? According to Professor Eugene Kantorovich of the George Mason University School of Law, as someone who has argued that Israel should admit Omar and Tayyip, I must also say that decision to bar them is legitimate. Countries routinely deny visas to those with extremist views. The U.S. excludes people for ideologies fundamentally hostile to the U.S. And in that regard, Israeli law also provides that, quote, Israel has a right to prohibit activists, especially those who want to see it wiped off the map, from coming in. According to M. Zudi Jasser, founder and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, history proves that Israel is often held to a double standard, and this case is no different. Virtually every nation bars entry to those who wish it harm. Yet, it's an international incident when Israel does it. Applicants for visas to the United States, for example, are asked questions about their political views and activities. The U.S. Patriot Act allows the Secretary of State to bar admission to the United States to any alien whose entry or proposed activities in the United States the Secretary of State has reasonable grounds to believe would have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences for the United States. The list of people barred or excluded from the United States has included Irish politician Jerry Adams, British singer Yusuf Islam, formerly Cat Stevens, and Austrian diplomat Kurt Waldheim. And none of them supported movements advocating the destruction of the United States. The U.S. has also barred democratically elected Israeli legislators under the Obama administration. And in 2005, Narendra Modi, now India's prime minister, was to visit New York and address a rally for Indian Americans in Madison Square Garden, but the visit never happened. The State Department argued that having failed to stop deadly riots years earlier in which Hindus killed Muslims in Gujarat, where he was the top official at the time, Modi shouldn't be allowed into the U.S. In short, the current outrage and disingenuous claims that this is not how allies treat each other is really just another double standard against Israel. What principle of democracy states that you have to issue visas to foreigners who are actively engaged in efforts to harm your citizens or annihilate your country? This is all the more offensive given that Israel is the only true democracy in the Middle East, where Arabs are free, can vote, and can live in peace. Israel does not have to prove its commitment to freedom of speech by allowing foreigners into its country who want to exploit that liberty to propagandize against the state and advocate measures to undermine its democracy and seek its destruction. While the Congresswoman used the controversy surrounding their visit as an excuse to launch scathing attacks on Israel, Palestinians seem to be more worried about their failed leaders in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. This concern is not something that the two congresswomen seem to share with Palestinians, because for them, the only wrongs are caused by Israel. In fact, Palestinians are more worried about the continued power struggle between their Fatah and Hamas leaders. The Fatah-Hamas dispute, which has resulted in the creation of two separate Palestinian entities in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, is seen by many Palestinians as proof of their leaders' incompetence and failure to improve living conditions in the two areas. As Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib should be working to build and not destroy bridges between their people and the U.S., their fierce attacks on Israel and the U.S. administration unfortunately have merely served to embolden Palestinian hardliners and fuel hate against Israelis and Americans. They should have been worried that the U.S. Embassy was forced to cancel an event to help Palestinians because of threats and calls for a boycott. It would have been helpful had the Congresswoman made an effort to persuade Palestinian Authority officials to resume their relations with the U.S. administration and explore ways of boosting the Palestinian economy and improving their living conditions in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. If they really cared about the Palestinian Arabs, they would be campaigning against the PA and Hamas leaders engaged in a power struggle over money and power, and they should be calling for reforms and democracy under the PA and Hamas. The least they could do is demand an end to human rights violations by the PA and Hamas, or demand that they hold long overdue presidential and parliamentary elections. They could also demand an end to the crackdown on freedom of speech under the PA and Hamas. But they have entirely different agendas. For all these reasons, Israel was wise to deny entry to Representative Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. These are not good faith actors, earnestly seeking to visit the Holy Land to learn about its people, history, and culture. The two congresswomen have First Amendment rights, as do all American citizens, to express their beliefs. But Israel, as a sovereign nation like the United States, also has every right to decide who can and cannot enter its borders and for what purpose. No country on earth would allow its sworn enemies to use its territory as a base from which to continue an insidious campaign of delegitimization. Israel is the only country in the Middle East where Arabs are free, can vote, and live in peace with equal rights. They also hold important position in Israeli industries, are members of Israeli parliament, and Salim Jubran is an Israeli Arab and former judge on the Supreme Court of Israel, who served as the Supreme Court Justice from 2003 and became a permanent member in 2004 in May. But these facts do not form part of the hidden agenda of Representatives Ilhan Omar of Minnesota and Rashida Tlaib to undermine and ultimately destroy Israel. And the Democrats' deafening silence when it comes to these two is outrageous. Well, rather a long article, but I think, it's pretty important to hear what's really going on with these two. All right, so let's go back to some music here on the voicemobile at WMFO.
Children pounding fast and kissing the hands and chorus sing goodbye.